Okay, guys, that's the end of the service. He's stolen all my what I wanted to say. All right, today is Palm Sunday, and I want to look at the day it all started. Actually, we live in Torquay, and to come to Totnes, we go on the Beattie Pomeroy Road. And as we left Malden, we got stuck behind a van that was pulling a horse box. And I said, maybe God is organizing a colt or a donkey for us for the service, like we had a couple years ago. But I've asked my lovely wife to read some scripture for me.
This is from Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. Just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they'd cut in the field. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" I'm also reading from Matthew 21. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Thanks, my wife. Okay, how did Jesus know where the colt was tied up and that the people would let his disciples untie the colt? This question that has not worried me, but I've been thinking about this for years. How did Jesus know? Do you think he organized the colt before the time and organized the bystanders to let him let them take the colt? Is that what happened? Was it all a setup? Well, I know one person thinks somebody's wrong. Okay, I believe that Jesus had to have faith in God the Father, because I believe God the Father told him where the colt was and what to say to the owners. Because if the disciples, they had to have faith as well in Jesus, okay? In Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." If you go somewhere and you untie somebody else's property, or just take a car from the road and drive it away, what's that called? Hey? Theft. Stealing. But the disciples, they had to believe in Jesus. They had to say what Jesus told them to say. What happened? They got the donkey. The owner of the donkey did not argue. He said, "Okay, take it." All right. How come the donkey, right? It's never been ridden. It was a young donkey. Try and get on a horse that's never been ridden, and you'll fly off there so quick, all right? But yet, I believe that this donkey sensed who Jesus was. This donkey sensed who was sitting on his back. I have spoken to people who own horses, and they say you've got to break in a horse or a donkey. You can't just get on his back and ride off. And I love movies, and I've seen loads of westerns or cowboy movies, and the horses need to be broken in before you can ride them. And yet, this donkey, Jesus just put the cloak on the donkey, got up, and the donkey didn't fuss around. He just allowed Jesus on his back. That is a miracle, okay? Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." All authority. Even animals realize that Jesus has got authority. Not only animals, but Jesus commanded waves and the wind on a stormy day. What happened? They obeyed him. That is authority of Jesus. What about us? There was a Roman centurion, the commander in charge of a detachment of soldiers. He recognized the authority Jesus had. Do you know which centurion I'm talking about? Rachel will just expand.
When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it."
Do we realize and recognize the authority and power Jesus has in everyday life? This centurion, he knew about Jesus. He heard the miracles, but it didn't really affect his life. It was only after he chose to come to Jesus and ask Jesus to heal him. I regularly receive newsletter emails from Sally McClung, the widow of Floyd McClung, who wrote the books like The Father Art of God. Right? In fact, Floyd and Sally were my leaders way back in the 80s when I worked with them in Amsterdam for 5 years. In one of these emails, Sally recently wrote about supernatural intervention in the earthquakes of Turkey and Syria. And this is what she wrote. "My thoughts and prayers continue to be with those who have suffered in the Turkey-Syria earthquake. I can't begin to imagine the horror of it all. Some stories have begun to come out, however, that are very encouraging. Both journalists and aid workers have said that many of those rescued reported having seen a man in white come to them with food and water. Some said that he lifted the concrete off them to protect them." That's supernatural intervention. Right? Do we come to Jesus when we need help? Do we recognize Jesus' authority and power just as the centurion did? Many people in the crowd on Palm Sunday put their cloaks in the road, and others cut branches and put them on the road as well. Jesus accepted the worship and praise of the crowd. Why? To fulfill the prophecy in Zechariah 9, verse 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." That's Jesus. A few weeks ago, during the worship time, I had a picture of people worshiping with their arms held up like this, worshiping God. And in this picture, the arms turned into palm branches as we were worshiping. What does that mean? What does this picture mean? These people, it's like this crowd, they're worshiping Jesus. They're shouting, "Hosanna." Do we worship Jesus like this crowd? This crowd was a fickle crowd. Jesus says that we need to worship God in spirit and in truth. That's in John 4, verse 23. But this crowd did the same thing. They worshiped. But a few days later, what happened? They were emotionally whipped up by Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders to demand the crucifixion of Jesus. Are we just going through the motions when we worship Jesus? Are we like the fickle crowd? Or are we like the disciples and the women who, after the resurrection of Jesus, hid behind closed doors because they were frightened? But what happened? Jesus appeared in their midst. The doors were locked. He just walked through a wall. Jesus, let's allow Jesus to help us in our anxious places. And when we freak out, because he can, because he wants to, because Jesus knows our future. Jesus knows what happens, and he wants to be involved in our lives. So when we freaked out, when we're scared and worried, don't run away from God. All you've got to say is, "Jesus, help, help me." Because you know what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 20? He says that he's always with us, but it's our choice. Let's be like the disciples and the women. When they were scared and terrified and struggling, they allowed God to help them. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean.